Good morning, everybody. For your information, we are trying to accommodate the people there. As you can see, a number of our people have chosen to stay home. Some are not feeling well. Some are concerned. Some have compromised immune systems and are wanting to stay away from crowds and so forth. Preston is filming this, and this is going out on our South Valley Family Facebook page. And so the people, even though they're not here sitting in a seat, we are fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters right now, and they with us. This is a very unique time, as Dick just said, kind of a turned upside down world right now. I've never seen anything like these times. We've gone through some other illnesses, swine flu and the bird flu, and you know, I think it was before our time, but back in 1920, the Spanish flu that killed millions worldwide, but. I've never seen anything like this. I hope that we're overblowing this, and I hope it's not as bad as some people think, but we never want to minimize anything. But I tell you, for me, being here with you and knowing that our brothers and sisters who are at home right now can be participating with us, it brings a sense of normalcy to me. And although I could never condemn anybody that chose to stay home for their health or whatever, I know for me, this has been a breath of fresh air for me to be with my brothers and sisters. Amen. And I thank you. And those of you at home, I hope you are fellowshipping right now and studying right along with us. Many of the lessons that I deliver are universal, that could be delivered on any given Sunday, come what may. Today is specifically for a time such as this. We've titled it Cast Your Cares. And the scripture reading this morning, and I appreciate Ken for reading this, is taken from 1 Peter. And the Apostle Peter wrote in chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Amen. There's a lot of uncertainty right now, a lot of concern, not only health. There are people being affected financially in this city, in this congregation. We have had some people laid off due to the circumstances. We hope that things will get back to normal and that the people that are affected will suffer minimal effects. Health, financial, anxiety. I'm a fairly steady Eddie personality. You know, I go to the store, though, and I look at those shelves, and there is a little, the anxiety raises a little bit. Just, I look at the people panicking. Some are panicking. And there is a sense of anxiety that raises in me. And I like to think of myself as fairly unflappable. But there is that sense. And I read this from the Apostle Peter. to cast our cares. It says, all your care. All your care upon him, for he cares for you. We're not going through this time with God being unaware. We're not going through this time not only with our congregation, but within Las Vegas, within our country, within the world, with God not being aware of what we're going through. And this is mostly a focus, if you've looked at the outline, about prayer, that our avenue of prayer that we have, that at a moment's notice, we are that far away from God through prayer. Jesus' apostles, his followers, asked him, teach us to pray. That implies a number of things, that they want to pray, that they needed instruction on acceptable prayer to God. Because not all prayer is heard, and they wanted to be heard. In Luke 11:1, it says, now it came to pass as he was praying, talking about Jesus, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Couple of things that stand out to me in this one verse. One, Jesus took opportunities to pray, whether others were or not. And when he was praying, they were observing him. And when he finished, they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. John taught his followers, taught his disciples to pray. Teach us to pray. They saw in him a communication to God. Lord, teach us how we can do that, because we want to also. The example Jesus said, you can read further on in 11, but I'd like to look at the example that was taken from Matthew of the similar, of the same setting. In Matthew 6, starting in verse 9, this is the same setting. And starting in 9, it says, in this manner, Jesus doesn't say, you've got to use these exact words. But in this manner, pray to God. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus starts off with praise to the Father. Our Father in heaven, acknowledging that the direction and the recipient of his prayers are to God. God the Father. And your name is hallowed. It's praiseworthy. He starts off with praise to God. He goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. With the exception of this line, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we could be saying this prayer except for that, because from this time till now, the kingdom has come. When Jesus taught them this, the kingdom hadn't been established yet. But we can utilize this concept of God's will be done. Amen. We're not going to pray, "Dear God, please let your kingdom be established," because it already has. It was established on the day of Pentecost. And no virus, no war, no famine is going to dislodge it. Because Jesus says that on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. We don't have to worry about that. But the concept of submitting to God's will, I catch myself many times going to God in prayer, wanting to give my requests, what I want to have, what I want to tell God what Bruce's will is. And I'm reminded here, right after Jesus praises God, before we even get going, God, I want your will to be done.
Amen.
Your will. Jesus, and there's nothing wrong with offering our requests. We did it this morning. We do it probably every time we pray. Even Jesus in the garden before he was arrested. I don't like to say the word trial, because trial gives an idea that it was fair. There was no fairness of the trial of Jesus, but and his crucifixion. Jesus, as he said, "Let this cup pass from me, but your will be done." Jesus, if there's a way for me to get out of this, I'm willing to hear it, God. But above all, your will be done. And that's what Jesus is teaching them here. God's will. And then we get into our request. There's nothing wrong with offering our requests to God. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm not noticing for riches. I'm not noticing anything about a feast, although God wants us to have an abundant life. Jesus isn't teaching his followers to pray for a big buffet. Give us what we need, our daily bread. Each day, like the Israelites depended upon God each day for their manna. You go to God each day. And he goes on to say, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." He's teaching about forgiveness. Not to ask just for things for yourself, but for spiritual guidance, for forgiveness of our sins. "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Guidance. Guide us, God, in the steps that you want us to take. "Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And I find it interesting, he ends this example of a prayer with the same way he started out, with praise. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray. We see Paul's example of prayer. You know, we can learn so much, and we do, from Paul's examples in life, in conduct, in study, in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, Paul is writing to pray without ceasing. That does not mean 24 hours a day, or to close your eyes, bow your head while you're driving. Although I've done plenty of prayers while driving. Try not to close my eyes when I'm driving. But the attitude of being in a constant attitude of prayer. That not just at a mealtime, not just when we come together with our brothers and sisters on a Sunday, but pray without ceasing. Have a life that is active in prayer. Paul, in his book to the Romans, in chapter 1, verse 9, says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers." Paul prayed for others. In Ephesians 1:16, he mentions it. In his letter to, you know, in letters to a group of people, the Romans, the Christians in Rome, to the Christians in Ephesus, to the Christians in Colossae, in chapter 1, verses 3 and 9. And I don't think the Colossians, I noticed, I skipped that one on the, I overlooked that on the outline for some reason. But he also prayed for individuals. In 2 Timothy, he told Timothy, "My prayers are with you." He prayed for Philemon individually. Don't you know the boost they had when they knew that the Apostle Paul prayed for them? I would like to call Chris Bullock up and offer a prayer right now on behalf of our congregation, on behalf of what's going on right now. Peter told us to cast our cares upon him. Chris.
Please let us pray together. Father God in heaven, we turn to this time with thanksgiving and acknowledgement of who you are and all that you have done for us. For you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you have given each of us life on this earth, Father. We gather here to acknowledge you and give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. We recognize the peace and the joy that we find through you, Lord, and we are grateful to you. We ask, Father, that you be with each of those who are unable to be here at this time, for those of our number who are sick and mentioned on our prayer list. We just pray on their behalf. We pray on behalf of those who are concerned about the conditions and the environment, that they might not come to be a part of services, Lord. We just pray that you comfort them and that they might be strengthened and know that this too shall come to pass, Father, and that we have this avenue of prayer that you've given to us, that we can turn to you with all of our cares and concerns, and we can draw near to you through spending time in our Bible and learning more about you and drawing near to you, Father. We thank you for the peace and the joy and the comfort that we find through your Son, Christ Jesus, who you sent to this earth to live among men, and though he was found without fault, was willing to go to the cross and suffer and die for each of us. So through that death upon the cross, we might be reconciled back to you in close relationships, so that we might be justified and sanctified and set apart, Father. We are just grateful to you for all that you've done for us, and we take comfort in knowing that, again, this too shall come to pass, Father, and that no matter what comes our ways, we also take comfort in knowing that you, as your word tells us, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And as this lesson's about prayer, and if we're told in Philippians that to not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let our requests be known to you, and your peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we just thank you for loving us and for caring for us and for all that you do for us. And we take comfort in knowing that you have a will and a purpose and a plan for each of us, each of our lives, Father. We thank you for being our our strength and our stronghold. And as we go through this challenging and trying time, Father, we might draw upon you and we might draw upon one another for encouragement and for strength. You've done so much for us, Father, and you've given us a great hope. We ask, Father, that you forgive us where we sin and that you be with us. We continue through this service. We love you and we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris. I'd like to end up with the example of Paul's prayer that he prayed in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, Paul wrote, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Paul wants the Christians in Ephesus to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to be uplifted according to all the might that God has. We can pray this prayer today in 2020, just like Paul said it in the first century. That the Christians be strengthened and encouraged and uplifted. He goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, our generation, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Paul said that prayer in the first century. It applies to us today. It applies to us in any time when we're beside ourselves in fear, in worry, in anxiety, in troubled times, through loss, whatever the case may be, that we may find comfort, that we may be filled with that goodness and knowledge of God. Why? Like Peter said, because he cares for you. Cast your cares. This week, as we go into this week, if we find ourselves a little anxious, if we find ourselves a little troubled, a little fearful, let's take a moment and cast our cares to God. We never like to leave an assembly without offering an invitation. If anybody needs to repent of sin, I think everybody here is a baptized believer. But if you've got sin in your life and need to repent, there's no better time than now. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, please come forward while we're led in the invitation song. I do want to make an announcement that we are going to continue our Sunday evening worship for those people who are fortunate enough to still be working and maybe can't be here this morning. We'll be here tonight. We are going to postpone temporarily the Wednesday evening Bible study. The majority of the people that are here week in and week out on Wednesday, they're choosing to stay home, to stay away from the crowds. And so we're going to postpone Wednesday for a while, till we see how this goes. But the doors are open on Sunday. So if you run into anybody that asks, there's the answer. But if you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward as Daryl leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand.